the missteps and the things that he helps us with, and he frees us. How many of you have been freed from some bitter things that have been just burdened you down? We talk about that a lot. We talk about that he'll bring health into your life no matter how badly that you've been damaged in life. He'll empower you to be actually like him. He not only wants to forgive you, he wants to make you a fountain of his forgiving power. And as you begin to live and flow in that in life, the impact it has on other people. He heals the brokenhearted. He carried all of our griefs and all of our burdens to the cross. And through his blood, the power of who he is changes us. There's a lot of that we talk about in this present situation, and there's really no one like Jesus in all of mankind. He's the one that rose from the dead. There's not another except he did it. If anybody rose from the dead, Jesus did it. So Jesus is the Savior of mankind. He's the healer. He causes us to, how many of you, he's touched your body in some way and healed you in a physical way and caused you to be better. And in addition to that, he gives us a life-giving intimacy with him through his Holy Spirit. So there's this relationship, there's this fellowship. When Jesus was in, when we read in the New Testament, he was always moved with compassion and healing people and touching people. As we talked about last week, each time he touched somebody, it was a picture of the coming restoration of all things. The blind see, the dead are raised, the people are healed, your sins are forgiven. How many of you realize you can really, really, really mess up in life? You can make it such a shambles that you hardly recoup. Now, the Lord can take the burden of all the brokenness from your life. But aren't you glad that no matter what you've done, he's going to restore all things? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. There's a hope beyond this one. Jesus is the King, and he's our soon coming King. Why don't you look at somebody and say, you're just a vapor. You're just a vapor. You're just a vapor. You're not going to be here long. As the grass withers and the flower fades, your life's going to be over pretty quick. It doesn't matter if you're 9 or 90 when you left here. It's a quick life. It goes quick. It's quick. But the reason that we can experience the joy that Jesus gives us now is because he's going to restore everything that we have lost. That's a coming hope. And he begins with the redemption of our lives in the present, but he ultimately redeems us fully in his presence. That's the hope. In fact, Jesus, let's take a minute and look at this. Jesus in John 14, 1 through 3, he actually said this to the disciples. He said, read it with me. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Let's just let that settle in. All the uniquenesses of your life, he's already the one that made them. He created the things that you like the most. He's paid attention your whole life as a wonderful father. He knows if you like peanut butter and chocolate. He knows what you deeply care about. He knows if you like groundhogs. He knows if you love riding horses. Heather and I were back in San Antonio with our friends, and we were sitting around the table at lunchtime, and we asked what one of the older daughters wanted to do when she grew up. We were talking, and she said she wanted to be a veterinarian. And I think it was in that context that I heard the Lord speak to me. And the Lord spoke to me that he wanted that their oldest daughter was going to ride Jesus' white horse. I had no idea that she talked about that all the time. And when I met with them, and Heather and I met with them to pray and prophesy over their children, that opened up her heart. Because who am I that I would know a deep inner secret of a desire that the white horse in the book of Revelation, Jesus is going to allow other people to ride his horse. Isn't he cool? Yes. In Matthew 19, 27 through 29, I just took a little piece of this, but Peter had asked this question, see, we've left everything and followed you. What will we have? And Jesus said, "This next, truly I say to you," everybody say, in the new world. Come on, say it again, in the new world. I didn't hear you. Let's say it again, in the new world. Hey, there's a new world coming. And Jesus said, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, and everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. And when they were standing there, in fact, this our window up here is the ascension window. When they were standing there and Jesus was lifting up into the sky, it says, while they were gazing in the heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. And he said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? Everybody said, this Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Jesus is coming back the same way he left. Come on. Hallelujah. There's a coming restoration. A new world's coming. Mark 13. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect. Poke at somebody. He said, if you walk in with Jesus, you're the elect. You're the elect. Jesus is coming. It says he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Revelation 19, verse 11, and I have three slides for this. And then this is a vision from John the Beloved. And then I saw heaven opened, and behold, everybody say a white horse. There it is. And the one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, pure and white, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe and his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We learned last week that if you have hope in this life only, you are of most people to be pitied, because everything that we have is based on what's coming. Everything that we have is based on a king. Every benefit that you've had is from the kingdom of God that's not quite all here yet. But one day, it's going to be all here. And we're going to be living in the fullness of that. There will be no pain. Just think of that. There will be no Advil. That was a good joke. I thought that was a nice joke. There will be no sorrow, no mourning, no death. Death will be gone. There will be no none of that. The fullness of all that you and I have desired to be, the things that have awakened in your heart through your relationship with Jesus Christ, will rise up and you will see everything that you were meant to be come to pass. You need to hear this, deeply hear this and embrace this. Because if you've lost hope in this life, then turn to Jesus. There are people without hope. They turn to the Lord. They begin to get hope. Listen, it's a rough world out there. We'll get to that in a minute. But hope is formed in the human heart. It's developed in the human heart. When a baby cries out from the crib or cries out, and somebody comes and tends to it, that's where hope is developed. Hope is developed when a baby has a need and cries, and somebody comes and picks up the baby, changes the diaper, or feeds the baby. Hope is developed when somebody comes to the baby. If nobody comes to the baby, and the baby cries and cries and cries, and nobody comes, hope is not developed. In fact, something else happens. Hopelessness is developed. Despair comes into the heart of the child. If you were a colicky baby, and you cried and cried, and you wore your mother out, and she quit coming, maybe something happened in your heart, and needs weren't met. And that happens because that can start a trend, and you cry out and you believe that when I cry out, nobody's going to come. Heather had an interesting testimony of how when she was a little baby, we discovered this years later, a tree fell in her backyard and it fell through the wall where she had her crib. And she screamed and screamed, and the parents were full of fear and they ran in and they picked up the phone. And they were screaming and screaming and screaming, and it put her little soul in trauma. And then she became colicky after that event. And she would stand in the crib and cry out to her mother. And her mother, the doctors back then too, they would say, just let him cry, just let him cry. Dum, dum, dum. And so she would just stand there and cry out, and despair began to seed itself into her soul. And she lived many years of believing that no one would come for her. How many of you have had the feeling of those, nobody's going to come for me? Now Jesus came to Heather. Jesus came to my wife. He came and he began to heal that. He says, honey, when you cry out, I'm coming. He delivered her from the bitterness of that. He delivered her from the picture of her mother turning away her face. Could you imagine? You're crying out and your mom comes in and just goes, oh, like she's despaired with you. And the impact in the heart. My mommy's not going to come for me. The pain. This is where hope is developed. Hope comes when somebody shows up when you're in pain. But Jesus is the healer. And hope is linked to a person. A person shows up. Everybody say a person. When a person shows up, when you're down, hope comes into your life. When a person shows, when an anointed person shows up in your despair and they have the message of what Jesus will give you, hope begins to come back into your spirit. When someone who carries the hope of Jesus Christ inside of them shows up in your despairing moment and knows how to combat the works of darkness and pray for you and bring you out of darkness, that's where hope comes in. Hope is put back in the soul, and you have the expectation that goodness is on the way. The anticipation that goodness is coming is the hope. And when Jesus comes, our faith is fulfilled. Our hope is fulfilled. I'd like to go up right now and see, look at everything, and then come back. Like Paul said, I know a man who, you know, went to heaven 3 different times. And I'd like to do that and come back and tell you all about it. I really would. It's the Bible calls it the living hope. It calls it the blessed hope. It calls it the eternal hope. There's something about when people are in captivity and they have no hope of coming out of captivity. When somebody, like in the South, before the Civil War. And there was no hope of coming out of captivity. The power of the gospel gave a hope beyond the present condition. You'll find out in this book that John's going to talk about a ministry in India where slave trafficked, sexual slave victims are taken out of their homes and put into this place where they're used. And there's a ministry. And the ministry can't take them in, but it can come and minister to them. And they can't go back to their homes, so they're in limbo. and they share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now, even though they're in captivity, they still have hope because Jesus is going to get them one day. How many of you remember? Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home, a band of angels coming after me. Now you're out there in the cotton fields and there's no hope of getting away. And you say, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home, tell all my friends I'm coming too. Coming for to carry me home. I'm sometimes up and I'm sometimes down. Coming for to carry me home, but still my soul feels heavenly bound. Coming for to carry me home. The brightest day that I can say, coming for to carry me home, is when Jesus washed my sins away. Coming for to carry me home, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. The power of the gospel, when you can't get out of captivity, still frees you. It still gives you freedom inside. And you step into a place of intimacy with God. People in prison can be free, even though they're in prison, because they're in the presence of Jesus. Captivity down here isn't the end. So everybody say, the human heart is created for hope. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. He has put eternity into man's heart. So, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Everybody knows that they go beyond here. Now, here's the wonderful news. And I just love to camp on this just for a minute. Because some of the things that the Lord begins to show you in your spirit, in your heart, when you open to him, is how special and valuable you are to him. There's a suicide rate, even among the rich and famous. There's two people just in this last week committed suicide. Have money, have notoriety, have what people think everybody would want. But they didn't have Jesus Christ. I was talking with a person, they said almost 80% of their graduating class has already overdosed. That's a lot of people. The sex trafficking, the horrors of the world, the teenage suicides is on an epidemic rise. We need the gospel of Jesus to intervene. The opioid crisis has touched every single state. People aren't addicted to drugs, they're addicted to escaping pain. And if you can help them escape pain by knowing Jesus Christ, the healer of the broken heart, it may not happen overnight, but when you walk with Jesus, he'll begin to heal. If there's anything I know about Jesus, he'll heal you. He'll heal you when your dad pins you to the floor and beat your face in. He'll heal you. I'm here to tell you, he'll heal you. You won't have any pain of the floor event. He'll heal you completely. There's nothing that he can't do inside of the human heart to create the hope. And I'm going to tell you this too. I'm going to get to heaven and my dad's going to be there. And we're going to rejoice together. How many of you have loved ones that have gone before you? There's something so beautiful about the work of Jesus Christ and talking about our future hope together. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he has created beforehand that you should walk in them. And when he begins to free you up and take off the shame and take off the failure and rid you of your rejections and your bitternesses. And you begin to become the human being full of God's love that you were intended to be by God. And you begin to walk that out. He says, now you're on the path of what I'm going to fulfill in you to be a blessing to the other people. I don't think I can ever stop talking about this. But see, one day I had some pain. And the next day after Jesus came to the event in my past, in my mind, the pain left and anointing for ministry remained. Jesus took the pain away and gave me a capacity to be a blessing to others because the pain is no longer there. The memory's there, but the anointing to help people is what he replaced it with. That's the hope of the gospel. To comfort one another with the comfort wherewith you have been comforted. To comfort one another with the same comfort that you have been comforted. People are hurting and you say, he freed me from this. And there's an anointing by God for you to step into their life and to rescue them out of their pain. There's people crying out and they need the hope that you're walking in. And Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And they need the word that you have. They need the message that you have, the experience that you have, and the love that you're carrying to lift them up. Some people are so bound and they're so looking for the next fix. But we got to intercept them. And some people wake up and they realize, nobody loves me like this. Those people aren't mad at me. They're not trying to throw me in jail. They, you know, I've done them wrong and they still care about me. What's going on? Because Jesus loves to the uttermost. Jesus loves to the guttermost. Jesus loves. I think I had a big picture up there about him coming back on the white horse. No, that's the one at the end. There you go. I love this. Tell you what, go ahead and put the other one up there. This last picture I have, I'm going to say a few more things, but I just think this epitomizes hope. It doesn't matter if you're 100 years old and you're a man. What goes going on in that heart relates to you. That Jesus Christ will never leave you. That he's the only one if everybody walks away. He's still there. He's there when you don't feel he's there. He's there when you feel he's there. He's always there. The Lord is there. He's there when you don't want him there. Adam, where are you? I was naked and ashamed and afraid, so I hid myself. So since the Lord already knows everything and he shed his blood to take care of everything and he's come and bore all your sins on his cross and carried all your griefs, he's the one with the invitation. It's amazing to me when people finally get there and they realize, I'm really messed up and nobody else is really ahead of me in line. I'm a royal mess up and I'm at... Aren't you glad it's all evil, even ground at the cross right there? Is there? First Peter 1, I'm just going to make a few more comments here. Let me just talk about this. First of all, salvation is free. You can't earn salvation. Salvation in Jesus Christ is unearnable. You cannot do anything to gain it. There's one thing you can do. Receive it. You can believe that Jesus has done it for you. Now, here's the other side to this. After you have been saved and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and his new nature has come in you, how many of you have found that Jesus actually gets started in doing something in your life and you still have an attraction to things that he's starting to work in your life to change you? Are you there? And when he begins to do that, it can be unpleasant. I still was full of the same desires when I met Jesus, and now the things that I used to like, I don't like anymore. He's beginning to change that. It takes time, doesn't it? It's called sanctification. He heals the soul. He works inside of the mind and the will and the emotions. He begins to take you along and begin to change your heart's passions and change who you are. And instead of being just as selfish as you've ever been, you start to start thinking about other people. And instead of being a narcissist, you start thinking, wait a minute, there's other people on the planet besides me. And some people, you begin to lay down your life and you begin to work and you begin to do things for people that you wouldn't have done before. Because Jesus is beginning to grow in your life. And this is the point. When Jesus, after you've been saved, after this, and the change begins to come. Get this, guys. It's after the salvation. Because you can't get into heaven without Jesus' merciful grace, right? You can't do it, right? We're all in agreement there. You cannot get to heaven without surrender to Jesus and what he's done. But after that, there are rewards handed out. Jesus talks a lot about rewards. We don't think about rewards. Jesus is going to reward us for the life we lived. Let's start thinking about that. Well, I'm not doing it for a reward. Let that happen in heaven after he rewards you. There's five different crowns the Lord's going to hand out. The crown of exaltation or the crown of joy. The crown of joy is other people have come to Jesus through your life. That's one right there. When you came to Jesus, has there been any loving influence that has come through your life to draw someone else to want to come to know Jesus? If anybody has come to know the Lord through your testimony, the crown of joy is going to be given to you. That's a reward. You remember when Jesus was talking about these rewards, he says, good, you took this money that I gave you, the talent, you know, and he says, good, now I'm going to give you these responsibilities. And we think, I don't want more responsibilities. But here's the point. When Jesus gives you a responsibility, you were made for it. You were created for it. And he's going to fulfill who you are in the age to come. He's going to fulfill all that you are. We used to kid around with Heather and say, she likes things clean and stuff. Says, the Lord's going to give her a broom and say, see that mountain? No, he's not going to do that. He's going to put her over 10 cities and she's going to run 10 cities and, you know, she'll be happy about it. It'll be joyful. Huh? They'll be the cleanest ones in heaven. That's right. In 1 Peter 1:13, I've just really been intrigued by this because I've never seen or looked at the scriptures this way before. He says, but after reading this book, it started to change me and change the way I think about it. Listen to this, preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded. And he's going to tuck this concept in here. First of all, how many have put your hope on things in this world and been disappointed? It's amazing. You get your hopes up on something and it doesn't come out the way you want. The Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? You get sick-hearted. A longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When things come together, it's a full. But he says, in this particular way, he says, I want you to set, see if you can wrap your head around this, to set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter is saying, don't put your hopes down here. Put your hopes there. Now, what does that do to you? Well, I have hopes to do this. But if you put all your hopes fully in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you one of the benefits is it's going to start to unburden you. You're going to put your hope fully in him and it will take burdens off your life. And you're going to trust in him that he's going to work all things out, whether here or there. Is anybody, Then he goes right into the rest of this passage. It's all about being obedient and being holy as he is holy. And it's all this stuff. So why would you want to do all this? It's because he's going to make all things new. He's going to make all things wonderful. He's going to make all things, he's going to renew and restore and bless and cause everything, John, everything that you've had hope for, he's going to make it, all the things you feel like you've lost in the past, he's going to restore all of them to you, buddy. Every longing. This is good news. So let's put our hope fully on what will be revealed in Jesus Christ. If you're stuck trying to build up everything for you, I'm just working it out. I'm working out my salvation with you right here. I'm starting to hate the concept of the bucket list. I'm starting to hate it. Because the bucket list says you got to do everything here before you go. No, you don't. You don't have to do nothing. Just love people and see people get into heaven. You're going to get to do everything you never got to do. Like Nick said a few weeks ago, do the things you can't do in heaven. Why don't we spend the time doing the things we can't do? Why get caught up in trying to, I want to go to Paris before I die. Why don't you email some French people and win them to Jesus? And then when they'll go and give you a tour. Are you here? Let's just lift our heads to the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Let's worship. I would like to ask you to think of what would cause you to have the greatest joy and stand there in your mind before Jesus and see him granting it to you. What would give you the greatest fulfillment and stand before the Lord in your mind? You may want to ride his horse. And Jesus is saying, come, I'm going to give you a ride on my horse. This is what you're not going to get when you come to this church. You're not going to get me telling you you have to try harder. Because you got to do more to be accepted. You're never going to hear that from here. You're going to hear about the grace of Jesus Christ. And he's going to empower you to want to obey and do the things he wants you to do because they're best for you. He's going to cause you to love him so much because he's that good that you don't want to disappoint him. And then he says, hey, let's come up to the judgment seat of Christ. And he's smiling at you because he knows all those things you had to surrender in your heart to get to where you are today. He knows all that stuff you had to say, help me. He knows the private moments in your bedroom when you said, help me, the Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. And he came and he took the pressure of that demonic influence off your mind. He knows when you cry out to him. He knows when you've worried over your children or worried over your future. He knows. And when you finally wrestled it to the ground and Jesus began to rule in your heart with peace, he knows. He says, there's a reward for that. You see, the devil says, he's a bad loser. But I want to tell you, one of my personal joys is I'm going to really enjoy watching the devil thrown into the lake of fire. That's going to be a great day. I said, burn, sucker, burn. Because he's unredeemable. He will not turn to Jesus. And the saddest thing is that there are people who will not turn to Jesus. How can you not receive love, the purest love in the universe? How can you not? Jesus knows those moments when you were tempted and you turned. He knows the moments when you said, oh, forget it, and just went on fully into all the sin that you wanted to do. And then he knows all the stains and all this stuff. He knows how to get you out of the mess. He's been there, right? And you finally come to a place where you're going, you know what? I don't want to do that stuff anymore. I want to walk with people who are walking with Jesus and help people who need Jesus. Let's stand together. I want to mention one other quick thing here is this. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, you must believe that he exists. Say this with me. He rewards those who seek him. He rewards those who seek him. He rewards those who seek him. Let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. Wow. So would you just open up your heart? Open up your heart. Just lift your hands. Open up your heart. Lift your heart to him. Lift your heart to him. Just lift your heart to him. Lift your heart to him. Lift your heart. Lift your heart to him. His presence is coming. His anointing is filling the room. Lift your heart. Lift your heart to him. Lift your heart to him. Lift your heart to him. Oh, wow. The Lord wants to love you. He wants to pour, it's almost like an intimate kiss. The Lord wants to kiss you, to pour his love into you and to minister tenderness and sweetness to you. He's going to release you from burden, release you from any kind of point of shame, release you from worry, release you from things. The Lord is more than enough. He's more than enough for your situation. Jesus Christ is more than enough for what you're facing. He's much more than enough. He's God Almighty. He's God Almighty. Don't let anything get bigger than he is in your mind. Right now, let's just worship open to him and let your heart open to him. Let your heart open to him. Put your faith, your heart, your hope fully in Jesus Christ right now. The very next months, these next months, you're going to see the Lord work in your life. You're going to see him direct your steps. You're going to see him do things for you. So put your hope in him, fully in him. There's going to be a shift of things that's going to happen, of blessing and release of goodness in the Lord. Lift your head. Lift your head. Your redemption's drawing nigh. There are certain things that you've been longing for, and the Lord says, I'm come. There's certain things that he's going to come suddenly and take care of. There's other ones that he's just going to show up, and he's going to manifest his goodness to your life. Lift your heart to him. Lift your heart to him. Let the promises that he's speaking drop into your spirit right now. Receive, first of all, receive his love. Receive his love for you. Receive his love. Receive his love. He's bathing you in his love. Let him love you. Let the Lord love you. Let his love fall upon you. Rush within you. Fill you up. It's a healing love. It's a fountain of pure love. It's a holy love. There's nobody who loves you like Jesus Christ loves you. He doesn't exist outside of him. He is perfect love. There's fears leaving your life. Jesus loves you perfectly, and his perfect love cast fear out, and rejection and bitterness. Everything that's opposed to Jesus leaves when he walks in the room, because it can't handle the coming of the King. That's why when he comes in person, everything is renewed completely. But he'll renew you now to a degree, because when he comes, that's who he is. He's the restorer of all things. He's the healer. He's the nurturer of the human heart. He awakens you when you're dying on the inside, when you've given up. He causes you to have hope. There's stuff going on here. Let's praise him right now. Just pray in the Spirit. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let's praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord you, is present. His presence is here. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop right now. Don't walk out of his presence.
Praise you, Lord.
You don't have
praise
to come down
Lord.
Here. You get it right there. The Holy Spirit is right there in the pew with you. Right there. Right there. Right now. Right there. Right now. His manifest presence, that's what we're looking for. That's what you're looking for. Right there. Right there. You feel his presence with you. Some of you have never felt that before. Now I want you to just yield into that, because the Holy Spirit's presence is here. And when his presence is here, loved one, you don't have to do anything. There it is. Just receive what he's doing right now. Some of you could begin to feel like you can't even stand up. The power of God is on you, and he wants you to know he's with you. He's with you. Now receive it by faith. Say, I receive you, Lord. I receive your presence in my life. Now ask him to do something you need him to do right now. You know what it is. Only you know what it is. Done. Done. Now receive it. It's done. It's done. Don't doubt. He said, ask me, but don't doubt. Don't doubt.
Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. 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 Yes. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I want to, yeah, come on down if you want prayer. I was talking with somebody for healing. Come on down now. We're going to agree with you.
Now,
that you
I'm going to tell you a lot of things were just done. The Lord said they're done. But if there is something really nagging you and you need agreement with someone else, okay, the Lord just answered your prayer and said it's done. But sometimes healing takes agreement, physical healing especially. Tell somebody, the Lord did this for me this morning. Speak it out, what it is you believed he did, as a testimony. In Jesus' name, amen.